The coronavirus has led to a lot of fear, especially for doctors and other medical workers battling its spread. In China, working conditions for medical professionals are becoming more hazardous. In Hong Kong, the ones at the front lines in the fight are standing up to the authorities. This past week, some medical workers there went on strike. Tim McLaughlin is a Hong Kong-based contributing writer for The Atlantic magazine and has been following the strike. Tim, what were the strikers actually demanding?
The big two were, one, a closure of the border between Hong Kong and mainland China. And then the second one was a quarantine period for Hong Kong residents or permanent residents of Hong Kong or Hong Kong citizens who are returning from the mainland to be put on a quarantine period of 14 days, which they're using in a lot of other countries. And those were the two big ones that they were demanding during the strike.
And how have Hong Kong authorities responded? And why did the strike conclude today?
The government will not admit it, I don't think, ever. But this strike, in terms of effectiveness, it didn't force a full closure of the border, but certainly effective in getting the demand met about the quarantine period and also having the government drastically reduce the number of crossing points that are open between the mainland and Hong Kong. So they took a vote and very slim margin decided to discontinue it. It had been going on for 5 days. Overall, like a pretty good show of force from the new organized labor front here, and also definitely pushed the government, whether or not the government will admit that, but certainly seemed to get some results.
What did we hear from the chief executive of Hong Kong, Carrie Lam, on this? How did she respond?
She called a kind of hasty press conference a few days ago where she did decide to close more border points and put in more stringent checks. And again, didn't say it was from political pressure, didn't say that it came from the union. However, if you look at the timeline, you look at what was going on, it's tough to think that they didn't have an impact. And also, I should say that there's huge public support for the strike and for the border closure. So there was about 80% of people polled in a recent survey were in favor of closing the border entirely, and 61% of people polled in a survey were in favor of the medical strike. So huge popular support between both of those issues.
So as you said, the pro-democracy protests last summer kind of blasted some energy into Hong Kong's labor movement. What did union organization look like in Hong Kong before the protests, and how has labor solidarity evolved over the past year?
Hong Kong is kind of a unique situation. You know, the pro-democracy movement gave rise to around 24 unions that have been formed end of last year into this year, where people realized that if they can organize labor, if they can hold strikes, it's kind of a new tactic rather than just protesting on the street, where they can kind of force change or try to drive their agenda in a new way that they hadn't been doing before. And there's been a huge interest, huge turnout for these unions. January 1st, we saw like a huge drive to get people to sign up. So like I said, about 24 and counting that have formed recently, and I imagine that number will go up.
I mean, given the semi-autonomous status of Hong Kong, aren't strikers taking a risk?
There absolutely is a risk here. You know, I think the institutions in Hong Kong, the civil service, the hospital authority, the hospitals themselves, nothing has been spared from the protest movement. It is very clear that there has been retaliation for people having certain political positions or for holding certain views on the pro-democracy movement. They could lose their jobs, that they could lose promotions, that all that kind of stuff could have happened. So a lot of people don't want to use their full names to be identified, but here's what a medical worker, Sam Chan, told me about why he was out striking.
This may sacrifice our career because we expect the government to punish us in the future. But now we are so united, so I think we can force the government to close the border.
Right, but with the end of the strike, a total border shutdown was not in the cards. So Carrie Lam, the chief executive of Hong Kong, said that would be discriminatory. What did medical workers tell you about a total border shutdown?
A lot of voices out there, obviously thousands of people. The strikers that I spoke to generally disagreed with Carrie Lam's assessment on it being a discriminatory measure. Here's a physiotherapist and told me about what he thought.
We're not really discriminatory. Like, we're just trying to like prevent the virus from coming in. So actually, like, the virus has no racial, like, no racism against anything, right? So it's actually discriminate against the virus only, not the people.
Right. So looking at the science and not the identity. So the strike is now over, but obviously the concerns about coronavirus remain. What are the before and after shots? What has changed in Hong Kong since the coronavirus alert? What have you seen?
Yeah. You know, you see a lot of the distrust in the government playing out on the streets now. You see panic buying, 9,000, 10,000 people waiting in line to buy masks. You see runs on toilet paper and tissues in the last few days. the supermarkets getting totally cleaned out, not a lot of trust in the government, and certainly what the government's been doing so far, not reassuring a lot of people that they shouldn't be in panic mode. Part of that is also goes back to 2003, a lot of memories of the SARS epidemic that hit Hong Kong extremely hard. So, you know, where other countries or other territories might be dealing with the new coronavirus, there's a lot of history in Hong Kong over how bad these things can get. You know, almost 300 people died that year. So a lot of memories that people still hang on to and are still aware of.
Tim McLaughlin, a Hong Kong-based contributing writer for The Atlantic magazine. Thanks for being with us.
Sure. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.